Cloudcast Media.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley. Proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Good day out there, veterans and families, and welcome to Season 2 of Your Next Mission, a program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major, and I'm your host, and we have a great show for you. In fact, we have an unbelievable show for you today. But now, before we get started, I want to thank our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and we certainly love them. Today's theme is about leadership, and I'm so excited to introduce Sean Barnwell, speaker, event planner, and author of Leadership is About Behavior, Not Titles. Command Chief, Chief Master Sergeant, U.S. Air Force, retired. I almost didn't get through that again. Welcome, Sean. So good to have you on the show, and so good to have you on the show.
Thank you, Sergeant Major Tilley. Honored to be here. Thank you so much for all you continue to do for veterans across the full spectrum of areas. It's an honor, and I'm glad to have my Your Next Mission t-shirt on.
That's what I'm talking about.
And for those who don't have one yet, just know that as you wash it, it gets softer with each wash. So a nice item to add to your wardrobe.
There you go. I didn't even know that. I've got several of them, but that's good to know. I have to wash them a little bit more, maybe. So, hey, I know the audience is eager to hear about all the things that's going on with you and, you know, and Sean Barnwell events and all that stuff. So can you tell the audience about you?
Sure. So, Sergeant Major, again, Sean Barnwell, retired from the United States Air Force after 25 years of service. I had the privilege of reshaping Air Force organizations on five continents. My husband is also retired military. He's a retired civil engineer. And our daughter, while not on active duty, she started her career about a year ago at Fort Gordon in Augusta as a federal employee. So We consider ourselves a full military family. Andre and I have been married for 31 years. We actually celebrate our 31st wedding anniversary in about 2 weeks. And just love the opportunity to mentor upcoming military people. Spend a lot of time helping veterans who have transitioned from the military with entrepreneurial efforts, as well as the spouses of veterans. So that's a great thing. And just had a lovely military career, and I'm glad to be here today and share some information on leadership.
Well, I appreciate that. You said you had 25 years in the Air Force. I only had 36 in the Army.
Okay.
And you said you almost have 31 years of marriage. I have almost 53, I think it is.
Well, I'm catching up with you, Sergeant Major.
There you go. It goes fast. Today we're going to focus on leadership, and more importantly, leadership behaviors. Something that you're certainly familiar with since you wrote the book, certainly a great book, the great book, Leadership is About Behavior, Not Titles. Tell me a little bit about that.
So thank you for your gracious compliment. The book actually came about, I had the opportunity to do some training with a local Fortune 500 company. They wanted me to come in and design a two-day emerging leader workshop or seminar. And so as we were going through the course of that, the students at the end, they said, "Ms. Barnwell, where can we find your book? You know, we want to read more and hear more about your stories and the different things that you've applied as you've grown through your Air Force career." And I had to tell them I didn't have a book at that time.
Yeah.
And so whenever I do a seminar, when there's something for the group to do, I'll say that's your homework. And when I told them I didn't have a book, they all said in unison, "Well, ma'am, that's your homework." And so you fast forward, life goes on, COVID hits, and I couldn't plan events. I couldn't book people on cruises, and I was at a standstill. So my husband said, "Well, you're going to have to find something to do or you're going to drive me crazy." And so I pulled this idea of writing this book on leadership off the shelf, and just got that started.
You know, it's really funny. I'm going to show you here real quick. You know, I got a copy of your book. You can see it right there. Okay. Ooh. All right. But just to show you, too, I've got a copy of my book. I've got a book for myself. But it's really important for us to write books, especially as enlisted. I think it's important because, you know, 86% of the force is enlisted. And I think it's important for us to get out and tell our story. Tell about people about the things that are going on in enlisted ranks. I mean, different kind of stuff maybe we're talking about, but I think leadership is leadership. I don't think it changes no matter what you're doing. So what would you consider, I guess, is the most impactful leadership behavior of somebody? I mean, is there more? I'm sure there's a lot more, but what's the number one, I guess, for you?
Well, definitely. So Sergeant Major, great question. I have my top four, or my top three, four, depending on how you...
Well, let's hear all four of them. I'd like to hear all four.
So definitely. So first and foremost for me, and it's worked for me in my career and beyond, show respect to people. We all know how important that is. Mm-hmm. People want respect more than they want money and recognition. Be able to build trust wherever you land. Definitely collaborate, the ability to boost cooperation amongst your team and others, internal and external to your organization. And then lastly, I would definitely say the ability to empower all members of your team.
Yeah, I think of all, I mean, all the ones you said, I think you're exactly right. But I think as I look at, if I pick one out of all of them, I think trust would probably be the number one. Because if they don't trust you and they don't believe in you, then they're not going to, you know, they're not going to follow you. They're not going to, you know, not going to believe in your skills. The other thing I think is really important is leading by example. You know, if you don't have somebody that leads by example, because I'm sure you have too, but throughout my military career, I've ran into a lot of people that tell you what to do, but actually can't do it. So I think rolling your sleeves up and digging in, whatever you have to do, I think that's really important. What kind of leadership advice would you give somebody? I guess the question is, what kind of leadership advice you've ever received that sort of stuck with you a little bit from a leader?
I have two, Sergeant Major. The first one that's served me well out in the military and out of the military is the trust but verify. So that has been, especially as a business owner now, definitely with two companies, trust but verify. And the second one is, I would say, to the concept of, if I'm the smartest person in the room, I'm in the wrong room. So I know people say, oh, you write a book, and then people want to say you're the expert at something. I tell anyone I'm not the expert, because once you hit that status of expert or guru in my mind, sometimes people think then you don't have to learn anything new. And I always want to be in a position where I'm learning something new. So trust but verify. And if I'm the smartest person in the room, I'm in the wrong room. Just embracing that mentality to be a lifelong learner.
Yeah. What kind of, I guess going back to the Air Force, as a chief, command chief, or chief master sergeant, what do you think was your biggest responsibility as far as developing leaders for the future?
I would say the biggest responsibility, solve problems and take care of the people.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the biggest one is probably taking care of the people and making sure that they understand exactly, you know, what your responsibilities are. I used to tell you, I don't know, I'm sure you know what the answer. In the Army, somebody asked me one time, what does the word sergeant mean? And I said, I don't know. I guess sergeant means hard worker, hard driver, and all other stuff. And they said the word sergeant, and you may want to check this out, I think I'm right. The word sergeant in French means to serve. And to be a good sergeant, you have to, you know, serve the people below you and above you. And I think sometimes, not all the time, but I think sometimes leaders forget about the fact that they gotta serve those soldiers that they're working with. And it's really tough. Have you ever had somebody that you thought was a bad leader that you work with?
Yes, there have been, but you know, I tell everyone, Sergeant Major, a person can teach you two things. How to be or how not to be. And so you learn a lesson, no matter what the situation might be. Yeah. Either you want to emulate that behavior or you definitely never want to put anyone through that particular experience. And so you shift and you do better.
Yeah. Well, I should say, I've learned a lot from different kinds of leaders, leaders that I thought weren't probably the best leaders, but I think they have some great qualities. But I always used to say, I said, you know, what they did good and what they did bad, I put that in my kit bag, and I remember that for the future. And I remember, I mean, you know, I'm not sure. I don't know if I was a good leader when I came into service. I don't think anybody is. But I think you learn as you develop through the military. I start saying army, but you develop through the services. I think how to lead people and how to talk to people, how to communicate with people. I think really to be a good leader, you got to be a good communicator, and you got to be a good listener. If you listen to people and communicate with them and make sure they understand, you know, what direction you want to go. And again, you said it right off the bat with all the other four things you did, but for me, the one was about trust. If they trust you and they believe in you, they'll do anything. I got to tell you a quick story. I was a platoon sergeant years ago, and a lot of years ago now. And I was out there, and I was upset about something. And boy, I was just giving these guys heck. You know, I was saying a lot of probably bad words nowadays. They put me in jail. And when I finished, I went off to the side. Somebody said, "How can you talk to those guys like that? You know, and get away with it?" And expect them to do their job. And I don't even know why I said that. I was a staff sergeant now. I said, because they trust me. And they know that I'll take care of them. And I think that's, people know, it's an old saying I used to say, people know if you're real or Memorex. You remember that? You know, they know if you really care about them. We're talking with Sean Barnwell, speaker, event planner, author of Leadership About Behavior, not titles. And you're listening to Your Next Mission podcast with me, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major Army. Don't forget, if you're enjoying this discussion, this is about leadership. Everybody likes to talk about leadership. But if you're enjoying this discussion, click on that subscribe button below and follow us. You know, we want to help our veteran community, and we want to help you grow as a leader. And I think anytime that you have a discussion that you're talking about leadership, you know, there's all kinds of different leaders, but they all have the same objective, and that's do the best for the people that they're working with. So, Sean, to continue our discussion, what are the three most essential leadership practices you think every great leader should do?
So be a voice for the voiceless, definitely. And that speaks to leading by example, as well as taking care of people. I think you should surround yourself with good people, people that are good for you and to you. And never ask someone to do something that you wouldn't do.
Yeah. Have you ever been in one of those situations where somebody asked me asked somebody that you was with or asked you to do something that you knew that person could not do, I guess?
Couldn't do, or maybe wasn't quite legal that you shouldn't be doing. I tell everyone, I don't look good in neon orange.
No, yes. You're both.
So definitely, there are some times where things could be requested of you that maybe they're not ethical, and it's a challenge to your character and your sense of integrity. So you want to stand strong on those points. For me, it's worked to say, no, I'm not going to do that, and here's why. Here is a way we can get this done, especially if it's something that I feel would challenge or compromise my integrity.
Yeah. I used to tell all the commanders that I work with, my responsibility as a leader is to tell you the absolute truth. Now, what you do with that truth is something else. And so... And from the, you know, I was a battalion, brigade, division. I was a division sergeant major 7 years, 5 years, 5.5 years, and space and missile defense and CENTCOM, then sergeant major of the Army. But at every level, I'd tell them that, hey, look, I am obligated as a non-commissioned officer to tell you the absolute truth, and I would never say anything but the truth. And again, you decide what you do after that. Now, if it was a safety violation or something I thought would get hurt, then I'm with you. I'd stand right up and say, no, you know, I'm just not going to I don't think I'm going to do it. But in fact, that's probably an interesting question. If you ran into something and you knew it was absolutely wrong, and you told that person they should not do it, and they're going to continue to do it, what course of action do you have after that?
Well, I tell everyone the beauty of the military, actually any organization, everyone has a boss.
Yep.
So in the military, we have a chain of command. So you keep bringing that infraction or breach of protocol or abuse of power, whatever the case is, you continue to channel that up until you get to someone who will listen and take the appropriate action.
Yeah. That's a great answer, because I was just going to say the same thing. I had another story here. I'm an old guy, I got a lot of stories, but I was in overseas. We was deployed and down into Bosnia, and it's just the craziest thing in the world. They was taping magazines to the butt of the M16 stock at the time. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Do you know how hard it is to take that duct tape off, load your weapon, and then try to shoot it? And by the way, if you got tape in there, it's going to jam the weapon." And and so the senior NCO talked to his commander. He says, "He's not going to change it." And so I'll go talk to him. So I went over there and talked to him. I said, "Hey, look, sir, you know, that's absolutely wrong." And he said, "Well, you know, I'm the commander." I said, "Well, okay, you're the commander, but I'm the division sergeant major, so I'm obligated to tell you. I'm going to tell the division commander, because you're going to get somebody hurt or killed." And anyway, the bottom line is, I didn't go around him. I told him the truth. But that afternoon or that evening, the division commander had talked to him, and then I went back the following day, and it was all off. So, you know, you don't want to do things like that. That's probably the I shouldn't say it's the wrong thing. It's things you don't want to do. But that particular person, we're still friends today. That was like 35 years ago. We're still friends. Got a great relationship. What leadership practices, you know, are you most proud of?
Let's see. I think I would have to definitely say my ability to show up as Sean. So typically wherever I go, my call sign instantly becomes Mama Sean. And I got a plaque around here with that on here.
Yeah.
On there, it's Mama Sean. So I show up, you know, as genuine as I can be, whether I'm engaging with a 4-star general or the slick sleeve, we call it, an airman basic in the Air Force, and just be that genuine person, a high sense of emotional intelligence, just genuinely concerned about the people, the team, their families, and what's going on with them and how I can help them get to their next big thing. And again, solve problems. That's what we're all paid to do. We're paid to solve problems.
Yeah. Give an example of one of the worst problems you ever had in the Air Force, or even that you've had in any time, that you had to deal with, and it was sort of a struggle, I guess.
Yeah. So probably the worst, and worse for the situation, probably dealing with a toxic leader.
Yeah.
And worse because, of course, you're dealing with a toxic leader. It's not something you want to have to handle or manage. And then probably because at the rank that I was at as a senior NCO, a part of it, Sergeant Major, was really hard because it was embarrassing to say to other people, "I'm being bullied by my boss."
Yeah.
That's not something you typically ever hope you'd have to say. And so it was definitely a very trying, difficult time. It impacted me emotionally. It, you know, impacted my family life. But again, like I said, in the military, we have this chain of command. You keep channeling things up until you get to someone who will change. When you can't first, of course, you know, solve problems at the lowest level, speak with the person, let them know what they're doing and how it's impacting you, how you're perceiving it. And then when you can't get any leverage that way or any change in behavior, then naturally you have to escalate that. And I tell anyone in a toxic relationship or experience in toxic leadership to channel that up before you do something that causes you to leech out and attack that person. And, you know, you can face some legal actions, or before you do anything to harm yourself, channel that up, get to someone who will listen to you.
Yeah.
Because in some instances, it can be as grave as people wanting to take actions in their own hands. And sometimes that can be pretty devastating.
You know, the worst thing about it, a lot of times I think there's problems because people don't talk to each other. I think I love the iPhone. I love all the computers. I love all the systems we have. But in some cases, I think they're a hindrance because you don't talk to each other. You always again another great story. I had a guy when I was at school didn't like me. Didn't really. And every time I walked by this guy, he'd give me a sort of a dirty look and stuff. And then I was like 10th grade or 9th grade or something like that. Well, the following year was in the same class, and we got to be pretty good friends, and we started talking and stuff. And then one day he told me, he said, you know, I didn't like you before. I says, why is that? Because I didn't know you.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of problems are is that you have people that don't know that person. In fact, I'm sure you know, the circle of life where people just stand in one circle and never move. Right. And they don't develop and they don't grow. And people that grow are the ones that they, you know, you can stand in a circle and you can sort of talk to the people around you. But if you want to grow and you want to develop, that's what me and you did in the service, is you take a step forward, you step into another circle. Right. It's really, for me, it's a circle of life, I guess. And you start talking to other people and you just keep going and you just keep going. And that's how you grow. And I think when you start looking at people in either leadership positions or even in communities, they stay in the same spot and they talk to each other forever, and they don't learn. I don't know. Does that make sense to you? Or?
Yes, I understand. Completely.
Yeah.
It's a global citizen.
Yeah.
You get exposed to so many different perspectives and ideas that come to play in how you develop as a person and a leader, that it helps you and it adds value to anything that you touch because you just have this volume of experiences to tap into. And even if you don't recall it correctly, you have another person that you can reach out to and say, hey, can you help me with this? So it definitely builds collaboration and enhances teamwork.
Yeah. One last question. We're going to take a break in a bit. But looking back, when I go back and looked at where I grew up at, even when I went basic, I had to jump school and then went to war, came back. And when I went back to my hometown after being in the service for like 2 years or whatever and going to war and then coming back, I almost didn't fit in. You know what I mean? Because I'd changed. I'd grown. And just like the circle. Did you or do you feel the same way when you go back? I mean, I'm not saying you're any better or anything like that, but you're different, you know.
Yes.
Did you feel the same way you went back to your hometown?
I agree. Yes, certainly. So definitely, and I agree with you. It's not that you're better than anyone. It's just a different experience when you've lived in different continents and you've met different people. Just your exposure to just a global community, it definitely reshapes just your perspective, how you approach problem solving, things that maybe you angered easily about because you've had different exposures. You say, well, let me try to understand that because maybe now it's shaped different and you can just see that people, if they haven't been exposed to different things, they don't understand. I think it makes you definitely more patient.
Yeah.
At least for me, it's made me more patient to be open to other ideas. And then to understand that everyone has had the life experience that you've had. And so first you got to understand them if you want them to understand you.
Yeah. I almost, thinking out of the box, I almost wish everybody would have to go into military. Because I think the military, we talk about leadership and development stuff, but the military made me see life different, appreciate life different. It made me grow up. I think when I went to war, I went at 18, I come back at 55. But it's just something about the military that I wish we could get all of our country to be exposed for. I think it's the perfect example of what life should be like. You know, it's not perfect, but you always got to have issues and stuff like that. But it's probably, if you look at our society today, it's probably the closest thing to perfect. more so than anything else. So anyway, just again, as you talk, I think about stuff, which is leadership, which you want me to do. That's for sure. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. And you're watching Your Next Mission.
You're watching Your Next Mission, proudly presented by The Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at navyfederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at purdueglobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for 5 straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at veteransunited.com. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. I'm the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley. We're blessed to be here today with speaker, event planner, author, I got this a mouthful, leadership about behavior, no titles, a Command Master Sergeant of the United States Air Force, retired, Ms. Shawn Barnwell. And I want all of our listeners to reach out to me directly. Tell us about your transition. Tell us about leadership. You know, I'd love to hear your thoughts about leadership. Tell us about what topics you'd like us to cover on the show, because I tell people all the time, it's not my show, it's our show. You know, I want to make it better for all of you. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll actually reach back out to you. I'll call you up on the phone or send you an email or something, or you can send me an email too, that smatilly at yournextmission.org. Remember, it's about the team, it's about leadership, it's about development, but really, quite frankly, it's about our country. You know, we live in a great country and we always have issues, there's no question, but the key to success in life, the key to success in leadership is to talk to each other, see what those issues are and try to work them out. Okay, let's pick it up where we left off. Shawn, we're heading into the final segment with you today, and I hope you've enjoyed it just as much as I have. And I just really have just a couple more questions. What is the greatest sacrifice you've made as a leader? Which I think is an interesting question there.
That is an interesting question. So I would have to say, so, you know, I think when people hear the word sacrifice, they think it's something bad. Okay, so sacrifice, you're trading something that's a value for something that you feel is a greater value. So I would definitely say the greatest sacrifice would be my time. When I look back on my military career, for sure, probably the last 10 years that I was on active duty, I was probably in the office anywhere from 14 to 16 hours a day. And that's okay, because we were working some impactful missions in Africa and different parts of the world when I was in Europe. And then stateside, taking care of lots of people. So when it comes to people, help making sure their pay is proper and promotions and they're just being developed properly, and training, and they've got the resources that they need. My husband will tell you, I do not monitor time the way regular people monitor time. So when I'm in the zone, I'm mentoring or coaching, whatever the case might be, working to solve a problem. We're planning a mission somewhere. Time, I just don't track it. So, you know, some people may work 4 hours and they're like, okay, I'm done. If it's going to take 8 hours or 12 hours to get something done, that's how far I'm going to go. So when I'm in the zone helping someone, time, the concept of time for me evaporates. Now, that's been a good thing for, of course, people that I'm grooming. But then, of course, for personal and family life, sometimes there's a flip side of that where my husband is like, OK, it's time to shut it down. He'll tease me and say, I'm going to go hit the circuit breaker if you don't turn that computer off.
Yeah.
Probably time.
Yeah, yeah.
Pouring into other people.
Yeah, I didn't watch my kids grow up. I was always deployed doing something else, and so there's a lot of things that I missed. But you're really right. When I started something, I'm going to finish. It's about accomplishment and the mission. There's right. no question about that. But the other side is I really loved what I was doing, and I enjoyed it every day. And I think people like me and you, we just like the fact that you're helping to grow and develop a future leader within the military, a future mm-hmm. leader within everyone, no matter what you're working on. Any moments of self-doubt, how to move forward, I guess?
Yeah. So I love this quote by Nelson Mandela, and it says, "I never lose, I either win or learn." So I take that into every project, anything that I'm doing. So when I think I'm not built for this, whatever that next challenge is, I keep that quote with me and I'll recite it, and that helps me move forward. I also have an amazing, I call it my circle of love. Mm-hmm. Of people who boost me and lift me and cheer for me. And not just me, but my family as well and others. And so, you know, I pick up the phone and I'll call them and I'll get my little pep rally. Mm-hmm. And then I'm ready to move forward. So definitely positive thoughts, thinking positively, law of attraction. I truly believe in that. And just step out there, take that first step. I don't strive for perfection. That's one of the things I've had to learn in my life. Nothing's perfect, but you can always be impactful. You might not be perfect, but you can always be impactful. So take the first step, speak to yourself in a positive manner, surround yourself with people who support you in your effort, and have a motto or a quote or something that you can always just reflect on that keeps you moving forward.
Yeah. I think it's a lot about attitude, too. And you said it just a minute ago. I mean, you got to get your – if you have a positive attitude, you know, I've been around people that always complained about all sorts of stuff. And I'd say, I don't want to complain. I'm just going to get the job done. So you got to have a positive attitude just to move forward. And you're really right. I mean, if you have people that are around you that are pulling you down or trying to pull you down, move them to the side. Push them off a little bit and try to motivate them to get them – get them moving in the right direction. What do great leaders need today?
So I would say mindset. So you mentioned attitude, definitely positivity. I think the mindset to be open to new things and then to always be willing to create an environment where others around you can learn, share, and grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. Yeah. We're not going to get more time. We're not going to get more money.
Nope.
But you can always shape your attitude about the environment and make it better. And I think that starts with being open to just, again, being that lifelong learner, realizing that I can be in the room and not be the smartest person in the room, but benefit mm-hmm. from the talent, time, and tenacity of all those other people that are there to solve problems and make things happen.
Yeah. I think the other thing, if I was thinking about, what do great leaders need today, I think one of the things I get frustrated about is bad news doesn't get better. So tell the truth. Be honest about what you're saying. Be straightforward. And the other thing is I get concerned about people that are leaders that don't look me in the eye when they talk to me. So you got to look people in the eye and talk about things that are going on. But I think we've talked about it. Good communications, lead by example, be a good listener, have a good attitude,
and
integrity. That's right. And you got to earn. And you really, like you said right at the very, you said right at the very beginning, is about that trust and confidence mm-hmm. in your abilities to accomplish a mission. And if you could somehow somehow harness all that enthusiasm. And that's the other thing. I think you got to be enthusiastic. Even if you come to work and you don't feel well or you're sick or something like that, you reflect, your attitude reflects on the organization that you're working with. So if you come in with a bad attitude or something that's bothering you a little bit, they'll sort of pick up on that and they'll be the same way. You'll depress them just like anything else.
Right.
This is a good question for you. A guy asked me one time, he says, when you're like a leader, Would a company change if you was a company first sergeant or something? But mm-hmm. So does the company change you as a first sergeant, or do you change the company? That's a question for you. Mm-hmm. You understand what I mean? Okay, yeah. So do I change or do they change? I guess really, really simplify it.
I would say both.
Yeah, absolutely right. You both.
You're doing
change.
It right. It should be both. They're going to impact. They're going to impart on you challenges. Mm-hmm. That's going to help you grow as a leader. And if you have any blind spots as a leader, I promise you that team is going to make it become a beacon of light. And you're either going to have to fix that blind spot and address it, or it could have some devastating consequences for you as a leader. So that definitely goes both ways. You're going to grow. They're going to grow. You are going to grow together. Again, you may not do everything perfectly, but part of being an impactful leader is realizing when you've done something wrong and you make it right. And you continue to just build that team. But yes, I'd say that's a two-way street.
Definitely. Yeah, you're exactly right. You change each other. You find what the happy balance is. The other thing is it's important for you to listen. I used to have, this is sort of fun, years ago when I was a platoon sergeant, I used to have the question of the day. And if my platoon could ask me a question I couldn't answer, I'd give them the day off. I'd only get one of them now. They couldn't all jump on me. But what happened was that I challenged them, and collectively we all got better. I mean, I knew what the, you know, like how long it took to kill a target at 1,500 meters, just a lot mm-hmm. of things that probably mm-hmm. didn't mean too much, but it was learning about the capabilities of the weapon systems that we're on. So you got to challenge the people and make an environment that people enjoy and like to be around. Hey, any final thoughts? Anything you want to share with the audience?
Well, I would say in that example you just used, those weren't just little tidbits. I mean, those are things that would save people's lives. So those were important question of the days, definitely. Well, don't want to downplay that.
No. Well, the one thing about that is for me now, all the time in the military, you know, I had, I think I told you was on the phone, I had mm-hmm. 16 trips to Afghanistan, 3 in Iraq, fighting in the streets of Saigon, overran once, 20 wounded and 7 killed. But what I think about it, what most people, certainly the people that's listening to the audience understand, I hope they do, and the ones that haven't served, I hope you understand it too. When you join the military, you raise your hand and say, I will protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And to me, what that means is I'm willing to die for your freedoms.
Right.
And I think sometimes people just don't understand that. And I think it's important for us to understand, us to continue to educate people about the kind of sacrifices that our veterans make. And then the other thing I'd say is that there's people that serve in the military, you serve 25, I serve 36, but we all come out with scars. Sometimes there's scars that you can't see that'll stay with you for the rest of life. Anyway, I jump in there. Final thoughts there, Sean. Anything you want to say?
Yes. So definitely just speaking to what you said, Sergeant Major, about individuals serving in the military. Definitely, I am grateful for the sense of camaraderie that I've gained, the appreciation for life having deployed to Afghanistan and Iraq. There are things we take for granted every day that when you're in those environments, you just value so much. So I am grateful for the opportunities that I've had to grow as a person. And definitely as a leader in the Air Force have afforded me that. And just transitioning, I would say to everyone that's out there, again, as a leader, don't spend so much time trying to be perfect. Focus your time on building your toolkit so that you can be impactful. Mm-hmm. And three things for me as a leader was important. It was important for me to know what my troops' next big thing was. If they were struggling with something, whatever the case may be, maybe they wanted to pass a course. Maybe they wanted to do well on a fitness test. Maybe they were working on a degree. Whatever their next big thing, promotions, I needed to know that. I needed to know what kept them up at night, and I definitely needed to know what brought them joy. Mm-hmm. That focuses back on what we started with, showing respect, building trust, boosting cooperation and collaboration, and empowering every member of your team to just bring every measure of excellence that they can so that we can just be better in whatever it is we're trying to do. So thank you for the opportunity.
Hey, no problem. Don't forget, when you go on that cruise next time, holler at me.
I will. I definitely will.
All right. Hey, thanks to Sean Barnwell for being on the show today. I had a great time. It's always good for us to talk about leaders. And we said it, she said it, and I tried to say it probably not as well as she did today. But it's about communicating, talking to each other, find out what differences are, find out how we can make our country better. You know, we live in a great country. We're always going to have issues. You're always going to have concerns, but talk to each other. That's the key to success. Too often today, you walk by somebody and you say hi to them. They look at the ground. They won't talk to you. They won't engage. Well, I tell you what, it's not about you as an individual. It's about the team. It's about how do we make things better for all of us, not that individual. So remember that. It's always good to talk about leaders, and it's always good to have somebody like Sean on the show that certainly cares about our country and cares about developing and growing young adults, making them better citizen in every way for our country. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been listening to Your Next Mission podcast. And again, thanks for listening today. And please visit our website on yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I always say if it could be a good review or a bad review, but it's a review. I don't mind an honest opinion from anybody. Tell the truth. You know, that's how good leaders work. Tell the truth and tell it like it is. Don't caveat anything. Don't try to hurt anybody's feelings, but tell the truth. And that's how we make things better. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. I want to say that again. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. We want you to tell us, you know, what you want on the show. Please send me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134. Or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. You can also visit our partners there who can provide you with so many services that will assist you in your transition from the military. You know, when you get out there, it always bothers me. You think you're by yourself. You're not by yourself. We're out there with you. There's over 17 million veterans out here in this country that want to assist each other. And I say this all the time. We're all brothers and sisters. The only difference is I'm not going to give you any money. But I'm going to tell you, brother or sister. So don't think you're by yourself. Also, please visit our corporate partners and see all the jobs that are available. There's a lot of jobs in our country, but we also have some jobs on our website. And please know, I love saying this because it's the truth. Please know, we want to assist you any way we can. Please know, we want to assist you any way we can. Please follow me on all my social media channels. I never thought I'd ever say that. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. I'm an old guy. I never thought I'd ever do none of that stuff. But it's important for us to talk and communicate each and every day. And if you enjoyed the discussion with Sean, please click on that subscribe button below. I'd like to have, 300,000 or 400,000 people follow us the next couple of years because together we can change anything. Individually, you can't change too much, but as a team, we can change a lot of things. As I said earlier, we have a special Your Next Mission t-shirt. Sean has one on. But for the next 20 subscribers on the YouTube channel today, you can get one. All you got to do is click on that subscribe button. Make sure you leave us a comment down there so we know how to get in touch with you. And thanks again to Sean Barnwell for being with us today. It was great having you on the show and really a lot of great advice for everybody. There's no question about that. I want to leave you with three things to remember. We're dedicating season two of Your Next Mission to all those veterans and family members who struggle with mental illness. You know, I said a minute ago to Sean, I said there's a lot of people that come back from war that have scars and scars that you can't see. And here in the last, 6 or 7 months, I've had a couple of my good friends that are committed suicide. Now, that bothers me because I really think, what could I have done a little bit different? You know, what could I have done to help that individual? So I'm going to ask you to do me one favor. Maybe once a week or once every couple of weeks, reach out to somebody you haven't talked to in a long time and check on them, see how they're doing. I have a good friend that talks about it. They call it a buddy check. You can call it anything you want to call it, but it's about checking on somebody you care about and just maybe have not seen for a while. And the two individuals I've talked about, we was great friends during that assignment and hadn't talked to him in 4 or 5 years. And again, I think today if I'd have reached out to him, could I have made a difference? Could you make a difference? if you reach out and check on somebody. Second, I'm proud of my service. Sean's proud of her service. I was in the Army. She's Air Force. We sort of bicker back and forth, but we love each other. So I'd ask you to each Friday, wear your hat. You know, I got my hat on just about every day because I don't have much hair, but I got my hat on just about every day, and I'm proud of my service. But show your colors. Let people know that you serve this great country. Let people know that you do have leadership, and you want to help people. You want to guide people. You want to be a great role model for our community. And if you really want to, you can take a picture of that hat, send it to me. I'll put it on my social media channels. And the last thing, I want to encourage everyone that's listening today, reach out to your neighbor. Offer a smile or a helping hand. Together, let's try to bridge that divide that has affected so many of us today. You know, we hear sometimes all the negative stuff. And me and Sean talked about it. It's about attitude. It's about doing things right. It's about working together as a country and making this the best country. It is already the best country. And we're stumbling here a little bit. We can make it better. Again, thanks for listening today. And thanks to Cladcast Media and, of course, our four presenting sponsors, Calvary Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate all you do for our military each and every day. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.
Cloudcast Media.